Sedano with you on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It is time for What You Need to Know before we get to the phone calls here in a second at 877-710-ESPN. The question very simply was, are you worried about the Lakers and Clippers matchup? Should the Lakers be worried about the Lakers-Clippers matchup? I want NBA fans to weigh in on this. And we'll get to that in a second. The Lakers do have one of the toughest schedules in Orlando, so we'll get to why maybe that doesn't really matter in a moment. But here's what you need to know. Cam Newton to the Patriots, a done deal, a one-year deal. I think, Greg, this has a lot of upside for everybody involved. I think that for Cam, it's an easy way to kind of rehabilitate his career. He's been hurt a lot. Belichick is the perfect guy to kind of create a game plan around him, you know, week to week, certainly for the season. Josh McDaniels has a lot of experience with RPO-type quarterbacks, dating back to his time with Tim Tebow, not to mention Jacoby Brissett, who they had on their roster and performed well for the New England Patriots. I love it. I think this is a great move for Cam and a great move for the Patriots.
Yeah, both teams win. It's a win-win for both of these, for the Patriots and for Cam, just because he is going to do well there. If there's any system that can put a kind of plug-and-play a quarterback into, it is the Patriots situation.
Speaking of plug and play, J.R. Smith will likely be official very soon. Woj has reported that it's getting done here, that J.R. Smith is coming to the Lakers. Look, I told you this earlier, and we can get into this in more depth later on, but I just feel like at this stage, anyone who's got some familiarity with LeBron, I think, is a good thing. I think that LeBron is good at making everyone around him better, but if you've got some experience with him, and granted, I know the JR experiment was both fruitful and also, you know, a bumpy road at times. I think LeBron knows what he's getting into. And I think JR Smith, even though he's break glass in case of emergency guy, I think that it's better to have someone with actual familiarity with the way LeBron James wants to play than someone who doesn't.
Yeah, anytime you can fit guys in that have that know LeBron well and how he likes to play and can hit open shots, then it's a win. And like you said, he's going to be at the end of the bench anyway. So it's great.
That's what you need to know. Actually, got one more for you. The Patriots were fined $1.1 million and lost a third-round pick for their filming of the sidelines of the Cincinnati Bengals. Not a real surprise there. I think the Patriots just look at it as a cost of doing business at this point.
That's pretty much all it is. I mean, they're going to continue to do this. They're going to look for loopholes. That's how the Patriots work. And you either got to catch them or you don't.
Yeah. Fairly simple, and I don't think they care if they get caught either. All right, that's what you need to know. We'll get to the phones here in a second at 877-710-ESPN. So, Bergman, I asked you the question, and I will pose it to you and Laura and the audience at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Are you in the least nervous about a Lakers-Clippers collision course in the Western Conference Finals?
I'm going to say yes, but with a caveat. I mean, okay. I don't think that the Lakers are going to lose to the Clippers. I have full confidence that the Lakers are going to win the NBA championship this year, and it's going to be because they're just the better team. But I'd be silly to think that a team with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and the way that they played well together and have great defensively, that I wouldn't be a least bit nervous. Sure, of course I am. I just have complete confidence in the Lakers.
Okay, Laura?
Greg, I agree with you, and that doesn't happen a lot.
Wow.
More and more recently, just to
wow.
Just so you know.
I feel like there's a new alliance forming all of a sudden.
I have to agree, because we can't say that we're not afraid. I mean, the Clippers are a great team, whether, you know, Laker fans like to admit that or not. That's a whole different issue. But they are a great team. And let's think about it. They've had a lot of time to rest, because if the season wouldn't have stopped, I wouldn't have been as concerned as now that they've had that time to rest and recover their injuries and kind of have that time off.
Let's go to Mike. Mike in West Hollywood. Mike, what do you say? Hello, Mike? Oh, he dropped. Are we still having issues with the phone? Let's go to Mitch. Mitch, what do you got?
How we doing, George? Thanks
hey,
for
buddy.
The call. Hey, I think these two teams will meet. I got confidence. I think the Clippers are a better all-around team, and it's finally come through. They're the Cubs in NBA. I like it. They're better depth. I wish they had signed DeMarcus Cousins instead of Joaquin Noah. I think I have more. I would have more faith in DeMarcus Cousins, but I think this is their year. The year of the Cubs, the year of the Clippers.
All right, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. DeMarcus Cousins didn't want to play. DeMarcus Cousins is smart to not play. DeMarcus Cousins needs to get healthy. And Joakim Noah actually played pretty well for the Grizzlies last year at times. So I do think that Joakim Noah, and again, you want to talk about the need for depth up front. Noah may end up playing a little bit here because there's going to be times, particularly if the Lakers go big, if Dwight plays, and we don't know if that's going to be a done deal yet. We should know by July 1st, I believe, with Dwight. But Noah helps them at least a little bit there. And he still probably doesn't love LeBron all that much. So that helps in regards to that, too. Greg, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, he's a big body. He's worth six fouls. He's an excellent passer. Yes. So, I mean, he understands how the game works. He's just going to fit right in with the Clippers. So, yeah, I Joakim Noah, whether or not he's played for a little while or is a knucklehead just like some of these other guys, doesn't matter. He understands the way the game's played, and he's going to get those six fouls. So,
yeah. By the way, Greg, I love how someone called you out on Twitter over the weekend about breathing very heavily before you came on the air. Right, Laura? I mean, he's a heavy breather, Bergman. This Bergman is a heavy breather. I didn't realize you were such a heavy breather until these last few months.
Look, we are not in a studio together where you can look at me and say, oh, this is how I'm ready to say something, or I have to raise my hand, or whatever it is, or talk into your ear. I got to give you some kind of signal. You want me to tap?
I mean, I generally go to you anyway, but it is funny how someone finally, after 4 months, called you out on that. It is funny. Like you are, it just sounds like you just ran a marathon every time you want to come on the air.
You know what? I did put on a little bit of weight, so maybe I did. Who knows?
Let's go to Mike in West Hollywood. Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Sedano? Yeah, I don't fear the Clippers at all. I think the Lakers showed that final matchup there before the pandemic. I think they can be physical enough. They can lock down. Let's be serious. The games they played were pretty tight matchups. They could have went either way. So I feel like with AD and the LeBron on the floor, they're unguardable. And I think the rotation guys, they'll be fine without Bradley. It's going to be a loss offensively. But I think Caruso, Rondo, and KCP will give them enough to fill in his slot. So I feel with Kuz there, that gives him an extra addition body to give him another offensive weapon on floor. And I just don't think PG in big games is fear. Kawhi's going to be Kawhi, but the rest of those guys, I just don't think fear enough. The only teams I could see giving a bigger matchup problem to the Lakers are Milwaukee, and I'm going to say Boston, just because of the size, the matchup depths they issue, and the way they can shoot the ball and play up-tempo or slow it down. So I think those two teams will actually be a tougher matchup than the Clippers, in my opinion. Thanks for the time.
All right, buddy. Thank you. That was an excellent call. Stay healthy. Stay safe. That's Mike in West Hollywood. 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard. 877-710-3776. Do you think Paul George Bergman is not a clutch player? Like, do you buy into that theory?
I mean, I buy into the playoff P portion of it a little bit. I think that he was very good when he was with Indiana, but
yeah,
he has shown in the playoffs that he kind of goes missing a little bit.
Man, I mean, I don't know if I believe it goes missing. Like, that's a strong word. He was really good in Indiana when he was
in
young.
Indiana. He was in OKC. You get these types of nicknames for a reason, right? And Playoff P is his nickname because he kind of falls apart. I'm just saying that's what kind of happens. Are you nervous, by the way? If you were a Laker fan, would you be nervous?
I mean, I don't think it's a slam dunk that they win, right? Like, I picked them. I'm sticking with my pick. I picked them in the preseason. I picked them during the season. I've picked them again in the restart because I just believe in LeBron. But I don't think it's, like, going to be easy, if that's what you're asking me.
No, and that's what Laura and I were saying also, is that we don't think it's going to be easy. But I got full confidence.
Yeah. I'm looking at Paul George. He's had really one bad game in the playoffs, like one where since he went to the West, okay, with OKC. And I'm looking at it here. It is game six, a closeout game against Utah. He was bad, 2 of 16 in that game. I guess he had another bad game against Utah. He had two bad games against Utah. So he was 6 of 21 in game two. They lost. He was 2 of 16 in game six. They lost. But against Portland, like, he was good. Like, they may have lost in that series, But it wasn't because of Paul George. He had like one game where you would say he had a 3 of 16 in there, and they won that game. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Like,
I mean, stats.
I don't know if
stats,
I buy into that.
I mean, stats can only tell you so much about what's going on.
No,
in that
but I remember
game.
Watching the games too, Greg. I think that you look. There, Michael Jordan go back against the Seattle Supersonics had awful games against Gary Payton in a couple of those games. Like you can cherry pick a game here or there. Now, the OKC Thunder just ran into a hot Utah team, right? Donovan Mitchell and those guys were really hot. Like, you know, and Damian Lillard was insane in that series. Like, he was literally hitting shots from like 35 feet. So, including the game winner, the series clincher. So, I just don't know if I'd put, like, that just seems like aggressive that he's not clutch in the playoff moments, especially with what he did early in his career in Indiana.
I mean, aren't you not clutch until you actually are? You have to actually win something.
I mean, he was one game away from the NBA Finals as a 24-year-old. You know what I mean? Like,
he didn't get in, though. I mean, it's no matter what, it didn't actually happen. There's windows for everybody.
So good, though.
You can go back into the early 2000s and look at teams like the Portland Trailblazers. Really good teams. They didn't get past the Lakers. There's the Sacramento Kings. They had their
right, but that doesn't mean he's not. That doesn't mean he's
but there's
not.
Certain
clutch.
Guys, Chris Webber, not getting it done when you needed him to get it done, or not getting out to block that Robert Horry shot. As much as you know, that,
I just hate it pinning it on one person. Like I feel like that's lazy.
Okay, well, if you're going to pin it on everything on Michael Jordan, that it was the reason for all those championships.
But I don't pin it on everything on Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan couldn't win anything until Scottie Pippen came around. So you know what I mean? Like that's kind of the point.
Right, but it's just like guys get it all goes on to the one guy. Without Kobe Bryant, that they don't win championships. Without Shaq, they don't win championships. I mean, you can always pin it to certain guys. You take somebody off, and that's going to all change everything. It's just how it is.
877-710-ESPN. Brandon in Southgate. Brandon, what's up?
What's up, Sedano?
All good,
man. I just basically want to say I agree with Laura, first of all. I do not like LeBron, and I'm with basically Bergman. He always speaks the truth about the Lakers. So, honestly, am I worried about the Clippers? They're all right. But, I mean, you know, it's our year. Let's just go. Lakers show all the way. So we're going to take it, man. I'm not even worried. And LeBron has to prove to the city of L.A. that he's really in it. So that's all I got to say. Thank you, Sedano. Thank you, guys. You guys are doing a great job. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate it, Brandon. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Yeah, look, I mean, it's funny because we have gotten plenty of people here. Like, Clipper fans have represented on this show in a strange way. They have been somewhat absent today. But Laura, when was it that we did that goofy thing that we called it, call your shot,
call
right?
Your shot.
And it was like 7 straight Clipper fans, like, all calling in. It's like they knew to flood the lines at that point. But generally speaking, I would say that, like, if you had to guess, right, like, I know you're going to pick the Lakers, but you don't think it's going to be easy, right?
Mm-mm. No. It'll be 6 or 7 games.
Right. I would be stunned if it wasn't 7, to be frank with you.
I mean, I got 6. I think that this Lakers team is going to be much better. They started off really hot when they all came together without even any time to practice, really, and without Kuzma practicing, and they still started off really hot. I think they can do that exact same thing here, but just at a higher level.
Okay. 877-710-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Ventura. Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Hello there.
Yes, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm actually an Indianapolis transplant.
Okay.
Moved to California about 5 years ago, so I've got a lot of Paul George experience.
Okay.
And Paul George fails at a couple of things. One, he doesn't create his own shot very well, nor does he get to the free throw line, which is pretty important when you're in playoff basketball. So Paul George turns into a really good defender who doubles as maybe one of the best 3-and-D guys in the NBA. He no longer gets to the rim. He no longer creates his own shots. Especially in the playoffs, and I think that's important. And, you know, you mentioned Paul George's exploits. Those did happen when he was 24, before his leg exploded, before his shoulder exploded, and a myriad of other injuries that the poor kid's had. that have really affected his ability to do those elite level offensive scoring type things.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. We don't factor that part of into the equation. I mean, look, early in his career, those years, you're right about the free throws when he was young, right? But as he's gotten older, he's been more savvy. His free throw numbers are actually pretty good in the playoffs. I would say after the unfortunate incident that he had with his leg. But generally speaking, you were right. Like early in his career, it was an issue when they had their best chances, maybe, of getting the Pacers, that was, of getting to a finals with him on board. But yeah, like, look, he has some shortcomings, but I do think that one thing that we've neglected to talk about is what you alluded to, which is the injury. That's not an insignificant thing.
No, I agree totally, and I just think he's looked like a different player since he got hurt.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, understandable.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
I think he's a third banana. I don't think he's a second banana. I think if you're winning a championship, Paul George is your third banana.
Okay. I guess, well, it also, thank you for the call. I guess it also depends, and stay healthy, stay safe. I guess it also depends on who your first best player is, right? If, you know, if it's Kawhi Leonard, that might be enough, right? Let's go to Jay in Hawthorne. Jay, what's up?
Hey, how you doing? My question is, shouldn't we be a little more worried about Damian Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers if they get into that eighth slot?
More worried than you would be about the Clippers?
Yeah.
I mean, he's torched us this whole season. Yeah, I wouldn't say I'd be more worried about Damian Lillard and the Blazers than the Clippers, but I would say that clearly if you play the Blazers, it's going to be a much tougher series than you would have envisioned against Memphis or New Orleans or whoever. Because, yeah, not only is Damian Lillard incredible and he's, you know, top 6, 7, 8, 9 player in the league, but you're talking about a healthy C.J. McCollum, a healthy Zach Collins, a healthy Yusuf Nurkic. They don't have to depend on Hassan Whiteside as much. They've got front court depth again, which was going to be part of their how dynamic they could be. So, yeah, look, I don't think the Blazers are upsetting the Lakers. I mean, maybe this series goes five or six.
With us losing Avery Bradley, who do we put on Damian Lillard to slow him down?
Well, you're going to have to put, like, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope or Caruso or one of those guys. Like, yeah, that's who you're going to have to put on them. Both guys are very good defenders.
True. That was my point, though. Thank you, guys. Oh, good job.
All right, man. Appreciate you, Jay. Take care. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Giancarlo in L.A. Giancarlo.
What's up, Mr. Sagano? What's happening?
You're happening.
Question, brother. Let's say LeBron, the Lakers, they win the chip. Do you think it's going to help LeBron's legacy, or do you think it's a little tarnished, let's say, if he wins the championship this year?
Look, that is a great question. So let's do this. I'm going to answer it on the other side, okay, because I'm up against the break, because it is a great question. It was one that was actually posed to me this weekend by someone I know who let's just say, knows the NBA game really well. So we'll do that on the other side, Giancarlo. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Laura, how long do we have? 90 seconds? All right, we are back in 90 seconds, and we'll answer that question. We'll take more of your calls. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Yes, sir. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. And our friends, also brought to you by our friends at My Computer Career, training for a better life. So before I get to answering Giancarlo's question about do I think another championship with LeBron under the current circumstances will benefit his career or will tarnish, I think was the word he used, his legacy. I'll get to that because I literally had that same discussion with someone over the weekend. And I was just stunned at the position this person took. So I'll get to that in a second. I just saw the video again pop up of the North Hollywood lady. Where was that? The lady in North Hollywood didn't want to wear a mask and she was freaking out and yelling at everybody. And was it a Sprouts?
It was a Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's? Okay.
Yeah, it's my Trader Joe's. North Hollywood Trader Joe's. I didn't even realize it was right there.
Wow. Look at that, Bergman. You could have been the guy videotaping all
that. Oh, God. How did I miss that? I would have gone viral.
Your Twitter would have blown up. You would have gained like a bazillion new followers.
Oh, that would have been me. Maybe they would have given me the blue check mark after that. Hmm.
You don't have a blue check mark?
Of course not. Why would I have a blue check mark?
I don't know. I know there's plenty of producers and, you know, big wigs like you and corporate shills like you who have blue check marks.
Corporate shills. Nope, no blue check mark. I'm not worthy of a blue check mark.
It's really not that interesting, to be honest with you.
No, it's not.
You don't really need it. Like, it works because at least people know it's the real you, but that's really it. But I don't think there's anyone trying to be the fake you, is there?
No, I would really hope not. They would need to have much more better things to do. Besides trying to fake
we should
you.
Have someone, we should just create a burner and just fake Greg Bergman. Like, I think that would be hilarious. And then they would just, like, rip Fast Track all day, right? And just, like, you know, have fun and, like, make fun of me and Mason in Ireland, right? And just say like mean things. That I think we're onto something. We should create a burner.
Someone's gonna do it now.
I know.
You just put it out there.
Exactly.
No.
Laura's gonna do it.
No. Yeah. Wait, no.
Laura, you had a blue check mark?
I did, and they took it away.
Why?
Because I stopped being active, so my followers dropped. And then I guess I was inactive for like 4 years, 3 or 4 years.
Did you change your name on Twitter at all? Because that usually is the way it goes. Yeah.
I did not. They just, when I went back and logged in, I was like, hey, I don't have the check mark anymore. And they're like, yeah, you lost like 10K followers too.
Yeah. So see ya. Yeah. All right. All right. So let me answer Giancarlo's question. Giancarlo asked me the question, do I believe another championship for LeBron will enhance or tarnish his legacy? And while that sounds absolutely ridiculous on the surface, it's just amazing that he asked me this question. It's almost like I was willing him to ask me this question because I had this argument with a friend of mine. I'm not gonna give away his real name. So I'm just gonna say, I'm gonna call him Conspiracy Chris because he loves a good conspiracy theory. And he's also a bit of a contrarian, right? So let's just call him Conspiracy Chris or Contrarian Chris at this particular moment, okay? And Contrarian Chris is a big Michael Jordan fan. So let's start there, right? So I think that already becomes an issue. So I'm contaminating the jury pool. But he was trying to make the case to me that in a truncated season, potentially marred by guys who don't want to play, coronavirus issues, and things of that nature, that LeBron winning the championship this year would not be on equivalent to a Michael Jordan championship or a Kobe Bryant championship or a Shaq championship or even some of LeBron's previous championships. And I started laughing because I felt like that was utterly absurd. If anything, I believe winning the championship this year may be more bleeping difficult than in years prior because you had to stop for 4 months. Because he's not going to have Avery Bradley. He may not have Dwight Howard, okay? For a litany of reasons, okay? There's no home court advantage. If anything, that helps the Clippers that there are not 7 home games for the Lakers in a series against the Clippers. So, but there's no way you're not telling me that it doesn't enhance LeBron's legacy for those reasons, not to mention the obvious stuff that he would have won 3 championships or 4 total, but 3 championships with 3 different teams with being the lead guy, right? On 3 different teams, which I believe, unlike our friend Jackie McMullen, is tougher. So, Bergman, do you think that my friend Conspiracy Chris is just crazy? Do you think he's just a Jordan stan? Like, because that argument seemed wild to me. So when Giancarlo brought it up, it just immediately came into my head again that I had this exact conversation literally 48 hours ago.
This is a guy that has a full Jordan stan going on right now.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. He has every pair of Air Jordans. Like, you know how, and you go in someone's house and they have, like, you know, I don't know, like a painting, like a really nice painting or something that they may have bought, like, from an artist or whatever, right. Or they've got, like, you know, some like heirloom that maybe is passed down from generations from like your parents or grandparents or whatever. And, you know, you keep it. It's kind of like one of those talking pieces when you come to someone's house. You're like, yeah, man, my grandma, or my great grandma has willed this down through our family. And, you know, we've had it in our family and we just keep it. And it's just like a random statue or something like or whatever. I don't have any of those things, but my mom did like growing up. And, you know, it's, you know, Hispanic people, we love to keep things like it is like you pass it down. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's just not something I do. But this guy, instead of having the heirloom that's passed down from generation to generation or like the famous painting, he literally has a shoe. okay, on one of his shelves, like when you walk in his house. This is how crazy this person is when it comes to Michael Jordan. So,
is it signed? Is it a signed
shoe? It is. It is
okay.
Autographed.
Okay, then that's.
But it's still acceptable. Ridiculous to me to have a signed Michael Jordan shoe in a shelf when you walk into someone's house. Like, that's
much
just
better than if it was just a shoe.
No, it would be much better. Yes, you're right. I did leave that part out of it, and maybe I did that just, you know. Maybe I did it maliciously just to kind of contaminate the jury pool. Either way, I still think it's somewhat ridiculous. That's something to put in like an office, not in like your house. Like, I'm stunned his wife actually lets him keep that thing there, because I know Mrs. Sedano would be like, no, no, no. You have an office and we have like a guest room / office for a reason. You could put that stuff there. So anyway, yeah, I just think that's crazy to say that it would tarnish his legacy.
When you told me that there was actually people that thought that this could tarnish his legacy, I thought you were lying to me and you were just trying to do like a radio bit. That people actually fully believe that if LeBron won a third championship as the best player on a third team, that that would hurt his legacy? I can't see how that's even possible.
I don't know, man. People are crazy. What do you want me to tell you? Laura, what do you think?
First, I agree with Jackie. So the whole six rings, three teams. But for this particular season, what?
For this hater in the house.
For this particular season, I don't think it would tarnish him. I think if anything, I would probably applaud him because A, he's giving us a chip, and two, it's like, dude, we're in a freaking pandemic, and he pulled it off. I mean,
how many championships does he need to pull off for you to like him?
I don't think that will ever happen. I just don't. I mean, never say never, right? But it hasn't happened. He's been in the league for a long time.
Yeah. But he hasn't been a Laker for a long time.
It doesn't matter. When he came here, I was like, ew, why? But okay. Yeah.
If he wins five championships total, two with the Lakers, three different teams, best player on three different teams. No, you didn't even hear the end of the question. You're saying no.
No.
But either way, I mean, personally, I think that if he does that, he takes over for Michael Jordan. He is the best player to play the game of basketball.
Wow.
No.
I don't know.
Sorry.
I don't know.
I mean, God, people are different, but he is the GOAT, in my opinion, at that point.
Wow. Let me go to Chewy in the LBC. Chewy, what's up?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Number one, real quick, I understand.
And ladies, don't forget the ladies in the house.
What? And ladies, excuse me. Sorry, ma'am. Forgive me. Lash me. I kind of understand what Conspiracy Chris is trying to convey. As an avid Lakers fan and as a fan of the Lakers since the late 70s, I'm 53 years old. I've been watching the Lakers my whole life. I love the Lakers. Go Lakers, Lakers for life. But for some reason, the season just doesn't have that same luster anymore like it had when we were rolling, when the season was in full effect. We're going to come back, and there's always going to be that asterisk that is always going to be around this championship, no matter what team wins it. So, yeah, I'm excited about the Clippers coming in, and I'm excited about the Lakers going for the championship. But I can tell you what, the only thing I'm really, really excited for is I want to see Zion. I want to see Zion. There was his injuries. There was his minutes being limited. Now he gets to go out and play full effect. That's the kid that I want to see. LeBron's image will never be tarnished. On paper, he's going to have a third championship. How can you just deny that without making
fourth, yeah.
Excuse me, fourth. Three different teams is what I meant to say.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It'll never be tarnished. You look on paper when it comes to the voting, and you're going to go champion with, I mean, it's done deal. Better than Jordan. I don't think it's going to surpass him better than Jordan, but his legacy will never be tarnished. The only tarnishment he has in his legacy that'll stick with him forever is the number of championships he's lost. Guys, good morning, huh?
All right, Chewy, thank you, buddy. Stay healthy, stay safe. My buddy Conspiracy Chris just believes in the asterisks. Like, he's like, dude, even Shaq said it's going to have an asterisk. I'm like, that's just Shaq's brand. He's been giving asterisks to people since the Spurs back in 99. Like, that's just, you know, Shaq is a showman. You know, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I love Shaq, but I'm not going to Shaq on my asterisks talk. And if anything, I think the asterisks means that it's more challenging. I think it's an asterisk for a good reason. But, yeah, it is interesting that there are people out there that will say, oh, he got an unfair advantage. He got to sit out four more months and, you know, whatever. And, like, they're just, you know, all that stuff. Like that's the argument. I don't get it. Like, that to me is not an argument. Like, oh, he got to rest for four more months. I actually think that's more challenging, especially for a guy who likes to ramp up to a certain level and is used to ramping up to a certain level. You're taking him completely out of his routine.
That's exactly what it is. You were taking him out. He was ramping up. He was getting better and better as the season was going on. He was getting into his playoff body. And you, being from Miami, have seen him multiple times. How he actually gets to
not really. Like that, he only did that the last year there because remember he came to Miami. He was 25 years old. You know what I'm saying? So that,
yeah.
I mean, that's not the same. But in Cleveland, he absolutely did that. And his last year with the Heat, he did that.
Right, and he just ramps up, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is a totally different dude in the playoffs, and he was getting to that point. And so to take the time off, we talked about it when we first started having him come home, was that his body was saying to him, like, what are you doing? We're supposed to be getting playoff ready right now. You're not supposed to be sitting around.
Let's go to Ja'Cory in Santa Ana. Ja'Cory.
Okay, thanks for having me on the show again. I appreciate it. I just wanted to say that it's important for LeBron to win this year. To prove that he's not just one of the great players that played for the Lakers, that he actually is a Laker. I also want to say that I'm happy for Cam Newton for making it to the Patriots.
Yep.
He got the best gig in the NFL right now.
I know. It's such a win-win for both of them, Ja'Cory, because Cam gets to play for Belichick, who's as good as anyone at just kind of carving out carving out a system based on whoever's on his roster. And that changes sometimes week to week, and it changes year to year. And yeah, just to be able to link up with someone like Belichick is going to be great for Cam. And it's great for Belichick because everyone was ready to write him off too.
Hey, Tom Brady, who?
Thanks, Ja'Cory. Stay healthy, stay safe. You know what's interesting too? Here's the silver lining. Are you ready, Greg Bergman, for the Patriots? Even though that I know people are like, now the Patriots are going to be good again.
There's Here's more the of a silver lining.
Yeah. No, there's a silver lining for those of people that don't like the Patriots. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get Trevor Lawrence.
No, true.
Or Justin Fields.
I mean, they got Cam Newton.
No, I know. But I'm saying, like, you've got Cam, but he's already on the other side of 30. Like, yeah, maybe you sign him for another couple of years. But the point is you're not going to get the next alleged great quarterback in either Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence.
No, that's a good point. I mean, they believed in Jared Stidham. So, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Let me go to Doe in the OC. Doe, what's up? Doug. Sorry, Doug. There's an H there at the end. My bad.
Yeah. I had a quick question. I don't understand a conspiracy with him winning or not winning. Just because everyone's gone through the pandemic.
Yeah, I know. It's just people that – look, man, here's the reality of it, Doug. Thank you so much for the call, and I appreciate it. Stay healthy, stay safe. The reality is this. If you don't – this is a very simple answer. If you don't like LeBron, more times than not everyone, because Laura can be rational and normal, because she's the one person on this show that can do that more frequently than the rest of us. Most people that don't like LeBron are going to find a reason to be like, nope, doesn't count. Nope. Asterisk, doesn't count. And the people who like LeBron are going to generally be like, yeah, of course it counts. This is tougher, etc. And then the reasonable people like Laura, who don't necessarily like LeBron, will side with the people who like LeBron. Because, of course, a reasonable person would say, this is hard as hell. And it's even harder right now during the pandemic. So, anyway. All right, coming up next, we'll continue those calls at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Also, I'd like to hear people in their thoughts. I guess maybe most people just think that Kawhi is a Hall of Famer and that's the end of it. But coming up next, I've got an idea for college football that you're going to want to listen to. We're back in 90 seconds. Sedano with you on 710 ESPN. Presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. And don't forget, shout out to our friends at Church's Chicken. It ain't game day. But you can still feast like it is. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken, a fan favorite with a new campfire flavor, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's, bring in that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations. Laura, we were laughing during the break because when I went to Doug in the OC on that last call, it said Doe. Yeah. And look, you know, people got nicknames, so I just went with Doe. And then you... told me that it was your autocorrect.
Yeah.
But you were also telling me that during the break that your autocorrect has gotten you in trouble before.
Yes. So I'll type something really quick or I'll dictate it And when I go to see it, it's completely different. And I've told some inappropriate things to people that I should not have. So, yeah, it gets me in trouble a lot, actually.
What I just want to know is, what are you talking about that Doug is autocorrecting to Doe? Like, are you talking about Doe that much that it's autocorrecting to it?
I'm not. That's what I'm saying. Like, my autocorrect just does whatever it wants. And I have issues with Siri all the time, so... It's not me, guys. It's a phone, okay? It's an Apple phone. I need a new
phone. Blaming technology.
I mean, that's the only thing I can do right now. It's Apple. I blame Apple 100%.
Are you talking about you need more dough? Is that what you're saying? Like, you need more dough? Like, Bergman, she needs more dough. What are you waiting for?
Hey, if I had that choice, you'd be making way more money.
Okay.
She's that, I didn't say that anything. Good.
What is the worst autocorrect situation you've had, Laura?
I try to tell my friend, hey, dude, can we meet here? And then it said bleep here instead of meet.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he goes, what? And he goes, my girlfriend's right here. I'm like, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, that's a tough one. But again, autocorrect generally works around you, right? Like, it will correct the stuff you write all the time, no? Yeah.
Yes, but I dictate a lot to the phone. Like, I'll talk to Siri or my Apple Watch, and I think that's when it's having an issue.
A convenient excuse. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Here's my idea for college football. You ready, Bergman?
Let's do it.
Power 5 schools, before we get back to the calls. You play in a bubble. Very simple. Pac-12 plays. Pick a city in California. Or it doesn't have to be California, but pick an area in the Pac-12 where there's not a lot of spikes, right? Where there, you know, things are relatively under control, right? We're all spiking for the most part at the moment. But you've got time, right? Like, college football's not going to start for another 2 months. So you kind of take a look, survey the landscape, and start looking at what possibilities you have. So, for example, the Pac-12. I'm just going to use this as an example, not simply because I think this should be the place. Pac-12, they can play in the Bay Area or San Diego or L.A. or, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, Washington, right? Like, somewhere like that, Seattle. The ACC can play in Charlotte. The SEC can play in Atlanta, right? The Big Ten can play in Chicago. The Big 12 can play... Well, not Texas right now, but in theory, right? Somewhere in that general region, Oklahoma, Texas, whatever. And you find a way, you just play your 8 conference games or whatever it is. You play in the bubble and you do it that way. Because I just feel like asking college kids who are not getting compensated like professionals, okay, to play during a pandemic seems... it just seems like a shady ass thing to do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just, there's really no other way around it. Like, it feels like you are putting, forget about not just their lives at risk, because I know that we know the numbers, right? And look, there are outliers and you shouldn't take these chances anyway, but younger people in general will deal with this better. We know that. That is proven. But those people will go back to older people, professors, coaches, etc., maybe their family, if their family lives in that particular area of the country where they're going to school. Like, there's a lot of things there at play. And the traveling part of it, much like when you and I discussed baseball, I don't think is ideal either. So what do you think of a college football bubble and playing just your conference games? And then, look, I'm old enough to remember we used to vote for who was playing in the national championship game. No different than we're doing now with this college football playoff committee. And yeah, it may be more subjective than in years past because of the scenario that you're in and you're only playing conference games. But man, like, I think that if you're going to do it and you're going to ask college football players, kids who are not getting compensated to play football, you should try to create the safest environment possible.
I'm with you 100%. There's no reason that anybody should be playing outside of a bubble in any sport, period, especially kids that are not being paid. So, yes, there's an unnecessary risk by having them travel around and going to all these different places. Put them all in a bubble. You can do it just like you said, in one city, and just like it can be the Central Coast here in Los Angeles. It doesn't matter. or sorry, in California. It doesn't matter. As long as you everybody's in one specific area and just keep them there, it'll make it that much. You can actually get through a season that way if you're going to do it.
Yeah, I just think that makes so much more sense. You know what I mean? And, you know, Laura, would you feel better, particularly because they're young people, right? And like you're asking them to do stuff that, you know, pros are getting compensated. There's at least that. So the kids are being asked, oh, save the money, right? Billions of dollars in an industry of college football, but they're doing it. They're not getting anything for it. So at least the least you could do is make it safe.
I think every sport should play in a bubble. I know you guys were talking about it earlier. So I think that's just the way to go for any sport at this moment right now. So, yeah, I think
877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We'll get your thoughts on that. Let's go to Clipper Snoopy in Norwalk. Clipper Snoopy, how are you?
Hey, what's up, George? Hey, George, I know you're not officially a Laker fan, but I know you're a Clipper hater.
How am I a Clipper hater?
Hold on. I've just been hearing you and Greg making excuses already for LeBron and the Lakers. Because you know this is a great chance for the Clippers to take it all.
But wait a second. I literally, when Greg sat there and said that he thought the Lakers would win in six, I was like, what? In six? You're crazy. Like, this is a seven-game series no matter what. And I was giving the Clippers all sorts of credit this morning.
Sedano, you're a Clipper hater. That's official.
Wait a second. Let's wait a second. No. Hold on, Snoopy. You can't just come on and call me a Clipper hater without giving me actual reasons as to why you believe I'm a Clipper hater.
Well, number one, you never bring up the Clippers. But let me tell you.
Wait a second, though. Wait. I never bring up the Clippers. Well, number one, and you got to say this is fair. This is the Lakers station. There is that. Number two, every time I bring up Greg, who on this station brings up the Clippers more than me? Name one person.
I can't because it doesn't happen.
Right. I'm the only person on here talking about the Clippers.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm a hater. Maybe, but
me too.
Greg hates them.
Me too.
Laura hates them. I'm surrounded by Clipper haters.
I mean, Clipper Snoopy, come on now, man.
Anyway, like LeBron, all he's been doing is smoking cigars and drinking wine for 3 months. You know what Kawhi's been doing?
Working.
Nobody knows what he's been doing because he doesn't.
You're right. That is true. Nobody does know. We just assume he's working. Yes,
he's working. Yeah, I'm sure he's working. And then the Lakers are a mess. Dwight Howard's a mess. Avery Bradley's not going. This is the Clippers. This is the Clippers' year, and we're gonna finish everybody's nightmare 2020 with a Clipper championship. Clippers,
all right.
Out.
All right, Clipper Snoopy. He called his shot. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Armin in La Crescenta. What's up, Armin?
Hey, George. Hey, guys. I was thinking if Lakers, what do you think? You know, if the Lakers win the championship, do you think they should give Kobe like a ring, like tribute ring with the win? What do you think, Greg?
You know what? That's a great question. I would imagine they will do something to honor Kobe in that scenario. Like, I don't think there's any question. And thank you for the call, Armin. Stay healthy, stay safe. You too, Snoopy Clipper. I almost called him. Stay healthy, stay safe. I don't want him thinking I don't like Clipper fans. That's not true. I actually give them a lot of love. But anyway, what do you think, Greg? I mean, they'll honor Kobe if they win a championship in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, they absolutely will, and they should. And I don't think there's one way. I mean, wrong one way or the other, but still, yeah, they will just because of what he's meant to everything, to LA in general. So yes, they will, and that's a great call.
877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Uh-oh, Clipper fans are getting excited. Their chest is puffing out. Phone lines are lighting up. 877-710-ESPN. Tell me what you think about my college football idea as well. Coming up next, we've got some news on the Dodgers. Stick around for that. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Sedano with you on 710-ESPN. Final segment of the show today. Tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily with our friend Mina Kimes, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. So we've had a lot of people chiming in. Greg, what did you say during the going into the break? Tell the people what you said.
I said, I can't wait till the Clippers lose in the first round.
Well, that's not happening, of course. And that's my response. That was my response to you then and now. You can't. Like, there is no chance in hell the Clippers are losing in the first round. There's no chance.
Like, the odds are that no, they're not going to, but I can't wait
to. Who are they
happens.
Even playing right now in the first round? Like, technically, who would they play? Who is the seventh seed at the moment?
I mean, I have to look it up, but probably
it would be
like
the
Dallas,
Mavericks.
Dallas.
They're
yeah.
not losing
hey, oh,
to the Mavericks.
Hey, no, look, that could be a good matchup. That could be a very good matchup. If you got a good Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis playing well together, Dwight Powell, is Dwight Powell playing?
I don't
Didn't he get hurt? Didn't he get
so.
Hurt?
He was hurt, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, the Dallas Mavericks are a good team that could cause some damage to them. Maybe take them 6-7, get them all tired.
I don't know about
who knows
seven.
What happens in a 7-game.
No, what are you talking about?
I'm just
about?
Saying.
I have seen the saying. Dallas Mavericks up close plenty of times this year. They are a fun team to watch. They're good, but they are very much injured. Like, they are not at full strength. The Clippers will beat that team in 5 games.
No, and Luka, from all reports, has been a bit doughy himself. Laura
yeah.
has been talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, speaking of Joe earlier,
here, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
There's that. I don't think so. But anyway, real quick, before we get back to the calls, Greg, the Dodgers, they have announced their entire, I guess, not their taxi squad, right? It's what do they call this particular group? The I guess it's just their roster, right?
It's
like
a,
their player,
yeah, player pool.
Player pool, that's what they yeah. call it. So what, any surprises for you there or anything that excites you from the player pool, the expanded rosters that they're going
to
have?
I'm really excited to see Josiah Gray. I think he's going to be a very good pitcher. And if he can actually make the team, could really be one of those guys that's kind of like Dustin May, where he kind of comes out of nowhere and you're like, oh wow, this guy is going to really help this team out a ton. Also, Brusdar Graterol is another, he's a 100-mile-per-hour fastball.
Well, that's the
guy
they got in the trade, right?
Yes, that's the guy they got in the trade, and yeah. he is supposed to be just a flamethrower. So to add that into your bullpen, when bullpen right now is so incredibly important, having a guy that's going to be throwing that kind of gas is really important. And also to stick in the bullpen, Blake Treinen, who they got from the A's 2 years ago, was fantastic. So if he can still be that guy this year, then you're looking at a bullpen that is just really, really strong up and down all the way through.
No, look, they are incredible, right? Like, you watch, you look at their roster, and there's just not a lot there where you say to yourself, there's a real weakness. Would you, is there even a weakness?
I honestly cannot find one weakness on this team, and that's tough to say, and I know that sounds like a homer thing to say, but you tell me where it is, because I don't know where it is.
I don't see one, at least not on the surface, right, at this particular moment. And I will say this, though, and we love when Dave Roberts comes on, and he was on with us on Friday. The only thing that I thought of later, as great as he was and as much as he loved your idea about the drive-in movie theater thing with the screens in real time and fans honking, that he didn't – I asked him, what about if there's like a rash of like COVID health issues? And he's like, well, we hope there's not a rash. And it's like, oof. Yeah. Baseball. Oh, boy. But by the way, what did Ireland say? After Dave Roberts came in with your defense, what did Ireland say then?
You know what? I missed it on Friday. Friday's the day I try to spend with my kids after the show. So I missed what he had to say. But I talked to him over the weekend, and he was like, it's a bad idea. It's GBS. It's Greg Bergman's stupid. Get out of here. So he's, you know, he doesn't matter. He doesn't care whether or not.
Just dismissing you that quickly. Good Lord.
It's how it's been for the entire time that I've known him. So that's not anything new.
I guess that's true, too. Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. AJ and Linwood. AJ, what's up, man?
Hey, this is for Laura about Kawhi Leonard. I'm a diehard Laker fan, but I respect every game that everybody plays. So if Kawhi went to Toronto, won their first one there, and then say he wins in Los Angeles, would he be a Hall of Famer then? Would that change your mind?
I never said he wasn't going to be a Hall of Famer. I just said right now.
No, I'm saying like if he
wins. Oh, right now?
If he wins a third championship, yeah.
I mean, it would persuade me more.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right,
AJ. Thank you, buddy. Stay healthy. Thanks. Stay safe. Take care. If he wins a third championship, it's over. By the way, he is also trying to do the thing LeBron is trying to do, right? Like, I don't think, like, we always just equate that to LeBron. Like, maybe Jackie McMullen was also referring to Kawhi too.
Oh yeah, that's right. I guess she could have been doing that, but I don't know. She's from Boston, so she, you know, Boston, LA.
Yeah. Yeah. But Lakers. I mean, do you think, I mean, I know Kawhi was the MVP of that finals, but I guess the thing is with the Spurs, but he still had Duncan and Ginobili and Parker, right? So I think people look at it differently, even though he clearly was the breakout star out of that particular series. I think that maybe people don't – maybe that's why people don't recognize it the same way, because, yes, that series he was incredible, but he still had those guys. I don't knock him for that. I think he was incredible. But, yeah, I think maybe that's why generally it doesn't get attached to him the same way.
Well, no, because and a lot of times, you know, guys can be the finals MVP but not be the best player on the team. Like Andre Iguodala did it with the Warriors. But the fact of the matter was that Kawhi Leonard was the best player despite having Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker and everybody else that was on that team. Yeah. So he just took over and said, I'm the best player on this team. It's my team now.
Yeah. Yeah, and he really did. He was incredible in that series. Ed is in Granada Hills. What's up, Ed?
George, don't let these Clipper fans press you, man. There's more Cubans living in L.A. than there are Clipper fans, so don't worry about
hey,
that.
Wait a second. There's only 50,000 Cubans, so you're saying there's more in L.A. Most of them live in Glendale. So you're saying that there's less than 50,000 Clipper fans in the city?
Trust me, I lived in L.A. my whole life. People who go to Clipper games are people who get free tickets from their uncles. Like, nobody's really purchasing Clipper tickets up until the last few years. So, I mean, they're like the roommate that nobody's ever wanted at Staples Center, you know? Like, Clippers, come on.
Oh, man. Ed, so, Laura, go ahead. Say what you said to me, to Ed, because you said it in my ear.
I said, that's true, man. The only time that I've gone to Clipper games is because I got in hooked up with tickets.
Right. They're always
nobody's coming out of pocket for a Clipper ticket. Come on.
No one.
You know what I have noticed at Clipper games is that there are definitely depending on who the opponent is, but like I was there this year at well, it feels like a bazillion years ago, but the Celtics were in town and there were a ton of Celtics fans in that building.
Yeah, green is everywhere. And by the way, the Clippers, and this is a real, real story, is that people used to walk around and come into restaurants and say, all right, from like gas stations, go to the gas station and we'll give you 2-for-1 Clipper tickets. That is a real thing that happened. So it's, people are doing, they were just trying to give away Clippers tickets. These are not real Clipper fans. This is just a new thing for them.
Ed, stay healthy, stay safe. Ed in Granada Hills drops off, opens it up for you at 877-710-ESPN. Man, where are the Clipper fans to defend themselves here? Josh is in Thousand Oaks.
Oh, well, I'm glad you called on me next. I'm a Clippers fan who will defend myself. And I have gotten a bunch of free tickets throughout my life. I've been a Clippers fan since I was 8, and I'm 33 now. So if you do the math, that's a sad history. But the one thing I wanted to say is, or two things. The first thing is that you guys on the radio, nothing keeps the Clippers more in the news than Lakers fans. It is beautiful because you guys are in fear, you guys are scared, and all you do is talk. And, you know, the second thing I got is for all the new Clippers fans out there, because you can tell when they call in, they're talking trash. But, I mean, the Clippers, as a real Clippers fan, I never expect to win. I never expect to win the whole thing because something always happens. I actually won from this radio station to that Rockets demise where we dropped that 30-point lead.
Oh.
You guys gave me tickets to that game. And my buddy was a Lakers fan sitting next to me. He's like, why is everybody so quiet? You're up by 29 points. And I was like, because we know what's going to happen. It just does that.
That was an awful game. Oh, my God. I remember that thing vividly.
Barry's tickets gave me those on this radio station.
Shout out to my guy, Barry. Shout out to my guy. So you've said, you understand, you've lived and breathed every moment of Clipper basketball for 25 years, and most of it has been bad. So you are waiting for the shoe to drop. But are you got to be confident right now. You've got arguably the best player on the planet right now. You've got one of the three best players in the sport.
It's something I like to call humble, George. And I expect greatness, but I don't expect it actually to work out. We have the lineup. We have the coach. We have the depth. We have the team. We have the superstars. But we've had that before, and it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So it's just humble. I'm a humble Clippers fan.
All right. Josh, the humble Clipper fan from Thousand Oaks. Thank you, brother. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
All right.
Nothing says humble more than saying that you're humble.
So O'Shea just tweeted in. O'Shea, who tweeted, he was, what did he tweet us about on Friday, Greg? What he tweeted something at us. I forgot now.
I don't remember.
It was something about, we were talking about the Lakers, obviously, or something, but I don't remember what it was. But he tweets us now. He says, yo, Sedano, I went to a Clipper game one time back in the day. I sat too close to the court. They tried to make me play.
Man, he would have dropped buckets too with the garbage they put out there.
I couldn't even get through it. That's funny. That was funny. Look at O'Shea. Shout out to O'Shea. Oh, let's go to Brandon in Southgate. Brandon, how are you?
Terry Sedano, I just called earlier, man. Like, what was his name? Snoopy Clipper? He, first of all, he probably came from Canada because he's most likely a Kawhi fan. Second of all, don't get at George Sedano like that. He's just doing his job, you know? So he puts on for us. And Laura, too. And Bergman, Laker fans, what does he expect? I mean, first of all, another thing I want to say, too, it's like, they got to be worrying. I guess LeBron's smoking a lot of cigars, right? And, like, he doesn't even know what his own superstar player doing. And then second of all, Paul George, he's just ring chasing because he thought he had it in Oklahoma, and now he's coming to L.A.? Please, please, a waste of time, a waste of time.
All right, buddy, thank you. Appreciate it. Stay healthy, stay safe. Let me go to Larry in Temecula. Larry.
Hey, George.
Oh, we lost you, Larry. Sorry. David, call back. David in Torrance.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
As to the Clippers, until they actually get out of the second round, I fear them not at all. They've had big threes. They've had the same coach. I don't think it's much of a worry. And I think the Lakers are going to take it. And you're right. I think this season winning a championship would be more difficult than any other. And as to Kawhi, if the Golden State Warriors had been healthy, I don't think Toronto would have won that title.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, it certainly would be. It certainly would have been more up for grabs, for sure. But thank you for the call. But he was pretty incredible in that series, too. Like, let's not forget. Let me go to Dan in Vegas. Dan.
How's it going, George? Greg?
Hey, bud.
What's up? Hey, quick shout out to O'Shea, forever the best quote. I got gold bones and purple blood. But you're talking to a Lakers fan that actually voluntarily paid for Clippers tickets. I came home from Vegas for Monday Night Football, Rams, Ravens. Let's not talk about it. But I was dying for NBA basketball. Lakers are out of town. Clippers are the worst fans on the planet. I've seen more enthusiasm for people that go to the dentist.
So I got a funny story that I'll relay tomorrow about my first ever Clipper experience at a game in 2006. But thank you guys for tuning in and calling in. We love you. Thanks to Kirk Morrison for joining us, to Greg and Laura as well. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. Have a great rest of your day.